are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Omar again.
Yeah. We're gonna have a good time, y'all. We're gonna talk about love
and the life and loss. We're gonna break down that thing called hurt and pain. And of course, we're gonna shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertain. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course I call that motivation.
Lean in, listen up now.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM the Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And I'm super excited because my special guest today is doing exactly that. She has learned and lived a wonderful life from some of her personal tragedies and experiences, and she is living her life out loud. To date, she has produced and directed over 200 live shows, including a successful $5,000 fundraiser for the Los Angeles Youth Network Shelter for Homeless Teens. This is a woman who plans to be completely dried out by the time she goes to her grave, totally depleted and used up, because she's using everything that she has to give God some glory and show others that they can do the same. Would you be so kind, virtual audience, to put your hands together and give a resounding applause to my guest, Rosie Reed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, dear. Hello, beautiful people. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, and thank Mara for having me on today. This is such a blessing. I'm so excited.
Rosie, I'm so glad that you were able to join the show today, and I've been wanting to have this conversation with you, because I've known you for years, and I've known you in different capacities, and one of which I've known you, we were sharing spoken word. I've seen you on the entertainment and the acting scene. But one of the things that I've known about you is your resilience, your ability to bounce back, your ability to spring forward, your ability to focus on what's ahead of you and allow it to be laser beam focused. You don't sometimes hit the mark. You always hit the mark. But I do know that life, at a very young age, you had a car accident, and it was a near fatal car accident, and I believe you were about 14 years old. Can you share with our listeners what happened and what transpired as a result of that?
Well, I was injured in a car accident. Well, first of all, I came into the earth a dancer. So as a child, because my grandmother taught me to read at age 3, I didn't know until I was in my 30s that I started school on a 5th grade reading level, but I always knew I was very, you know, great at that, and my grandmother taught me to read at 3, so prior to being 14, my plans were to be a Broadway choreographer, and a child psychologist. So I went from being this outstanding dancer to being a paraplegic overnight as a result of a car accident. And I'm 14, so how do you pick up the pieces, or how do you even have what it takes to pick up the pieces at that age? But I know that because of my church upbringing and because my grandmother taught me to read at a very young age, I understood a lot of things at a much deeper level than your average 14-year-old. I was the kid that I should not have been in the room when people were having certain conversations that they thought, oh, because, you know, children, they don't know what, she won't know what we're talking about, and I knew everything they were talking about. But that all stems from reading at a very young age. And then after my injury,
Rosie, before you get to after Rosie, let me just have you pause for a second and share what happened. I mean, there was a near fatal accident and you became a paraplegic, but you never you didn't discuss what that was like. What was that like? How did it happen? I mean, share that part of the story.
I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything about the accident. What it was like, oh, God, it was so long ago. It was horrible. It was tragic. It was life-altering. It was horrible. I mean, it was a disaster. I mean, that's what it was like. To me, that's what I can remember, that it was very, very deep. It was intense. I mean, I was in the hospital for 3 months after the accident.
3 months in the hospital?
Yes, 3 months. And Mara, the only reason I went home is because it was the holidays. And the agreement was they would let me come home for the holidays, but I had to go right back. But in that holiday time, maybe I was home maybe 3 weeks, when I got back to the doctor, I was doing so well and I was so strong that they said, she doesn't need to come back to the hospital. You know, I needed to go, you know, to physical therapy and occupational therapy and things like that. But because of what God put in me, I didn't need to actually go back into the facility. I was able to stay home. So that was a good thing. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and it was just a long, and it was a long journey. It was just a long journey. First of all, I was raised fancy, kind of, and I like to dress. So just living in a wheelchair, that could not be my only option. That didn't work for me. So I did everything I could. And everything they said I would never do, so that I could walk on canes, crutches, walk on canes. You know, right now I'm still walking a walker, but that was all because I like options. I didn't want the option to just sit in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, and you know that be it. And I knew that I was.
So they told you. So the doctors were telling you not only were you never going to walk again, but what were some of the things that you heard they told you you would never do that you then were able to do, and then we'll talk about how you got to that place.
Well, first of all, they told my parents that I probably wouldn't live through the night.
Oh my gosh.
And then when I lived through, well, because here's the deal. This is how God works. The surgeon who did my surgery had just gotten in the country a couple of hours earlier. My mom said that his airplane ticket was in his lab coat pocket. And it was a team of brothers, the Zetis brothers. They did the spinal fusion on me needed.
So the injury was a spinal cord injury, and they did the spinal fusion.
Yes, they put Harrington rods, two metal rods on the side of my spinal cord to fuse it back together. And they also used some bone and different things like that. I don't know, I was asleep, but this is what they told me. This is what they told me. So, girl, I have more titanium in me than a bionic woman. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, it was a very deep time. And you know, those particular doctors were great. And then there were doctors who weren't so great, you know. But all I felt like was it's my responsibility to do the best that I can do to be the best that I can be. The doctors, in my mind, they can only do so much. They have experience in medical school, but they've never been to Rosie Reed School. So they can't tell me what I can or cannot do. They can only speak from their experience. And I respected that.
Right.
And I told them, but you don't know me. and they had to respect that because they did.
Teen when this happened, did that mean you had to skip school? How did you attend school? Did you do therapy at home? Were there people, a team of doctors that would come to the house to help you with therapy? Walk us through some of that. You're a 14-year-old girl. Obviously, you were in school prior to the accident. How did things shift after that?
After that, I was given a tutor. I had a tutor until they cut my tutor off going into my senior year. But I had a tutor, I had just graduated from junior high. I was getting ready to go to Edison High School. I just graduated from junior high. And then I was injured over that summer vacation. And then it was a different world after that. And so as far as physical therapy, I would go to physical therapy 3 days a week. And at one point I was, because they give you occupational therapy, which is more things like how to put on your pants, how to feed yourself, I had figured all that out while I was at home on the quote unquote break, when I was supposed to go back to the hospital. Because I was always a very independent person because my grandmother raised me that way. She raised us to be very, very intelligent. She was all about education and independence. She never wanted to see us, or she didn't teach us to be in a place where you have to depend on others for your basics. So at 8 years old, I knew how to wash dishes. I knew how to clean house. I knew how to use a vacuum. I knew how to wash clothes, hand wash clothes, because we had a lot of fine washables and things like that as a kid. So my grandmother on my dad's side, she was, don't get me wrong, that woman make Madea look like Mother Teresa. So she was no joke, and it was difficult as a kid, but as an adult, I'm thankful to God that I grew up with her and she taught me all the things that I did, because I would not even be here today had I not understood strength at a very young age, had I not had to tap into strength at a very young age, had I not been raised in church so that I knew God.
So question, so you go from graduating, from junior high to high school, and you have a tutor come into your house. Do you feel any different looking at kids, let's say playing outside or running around? I'm talking about the 14-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old you, not the woman that I have grown to know that is full of confidence, ever evolving and focused. I'm talking about the young girl who had to watch other kids play and other kids do things that you weren't able to do. What was that like?
Honestly, I don't remember, and I'll tell you why I don't remember, because it was never my focus. I'm sure if I saw somebody dancing and I was a dancer, I probably wished, I could still dance. However, I couldn't, so I couldn't dwell on that. I had to deal with that moment and how I could function day to day, because when you have an injury that is so severe, you have to try to figure out how to get from point A to point B. You know what I mean? So I'm sure I felt like what you're saying, but I have no memory of those things because I never made it my focus. My focus was, I want to move forward with my life. What can I do? What do I have to do? And then when they cut my tutor, after a year, almost 2 years, then, what's my next move? So those are the things that I focused on more than, I can't do this, I can't do that. I really didn't have time, honestly, to really, to give much energy to that. Because that wasn't going to make me better.
Right, and I understand that, but I also know that most people who have an injury, no matter what age it is, there's always a place and a point in their life where they look at something in a different perspective, and then they wake up to the fact that they got to keep moving. But it's the part before you move that I was trying to find, I was most interested in, because even if it was at 18 or it was at 20, usually people mm-hmm. have a moment where they, you know, I've progressed and done a lot of things, but when I went, it was devastating. Mm-hmm. I can say now right. it was completely worth it. I can say now on this side, I grew from it. I can say now that I counted it all joy when I fell into diverse temptation, but in the middle of it, there was tears, there was darkness, there was depression, there was pain for the things that I was no longer able to do versus the things mm-hmm. that I had dreams and hopes to do in that situation. So that's where I thought some of your challenge may have been, because very few people at you know, from 10 to 12 or even come out mm-hmm. of the womb saying, "Ooh, I got it, I can do this, and this is what I'm going to do." So I'm surprised, but praise the Lord for that. I do want to ask this. Our topic tonight is called balanced living. And so mm-hmm. I'd like to just ask you a couple of questions about balanced living. First, what exactly is balanced living to you?
Well, for me, balanced living is the proper mentality, exercise, eating a balance. I always tell people it's 50-50. You know, have your fruit, 50-50 fruits and vegetables and 50-50 other things. It depends on where they're coming from when I start working with someone to what those other things are. And also one of the most important things that people don't do, drink half your body's weight in water. That's the two of the easiest things you can do if you want to foray into balanced living is move, however you can move. I can't move like you can move. I can't, you know, I can't hike Runyon Canyon, but I can get on the treadmill and do my best there. You know what I'm saying? So movement and drinking half your body's weight in water, those can be life-changing. They may not sound like it because oftentimes it's a lot simpler than we make it, but balanced living and also proper sleep. And, you know, insomnia is extreme. It's very, very widespread. You know, I've had bouts with insomnia myself, you know, but when you try to, when you balance it all out, you live better, you feel better, you know, and like I tell people, because some people say, well, that doesn't mean that, well, can that stop this or stop that? And I tell them, look, I'm not an MD, and I'm not saying that balanced living will stop you from having a medical challenge, but I can tell you this, if you are healthy and you're at even close to an optimum level, when those health challenges arise, you have a better chance of overcoming them. I have a friend who had a massive heart attack, massive, his words. And he said, I drove myself to the hospital, walked in, and I told the lady, you know, the front desk, here's my wallet, here's all my information, I think I'm having a heart attack. And, of course, what was her response? Sir, can you fill out this stack of papers? At which point, he fainted. Now, I don't know if he fainted from all the papers or from about to have a heart attack, but he said he knows. And the doctors told him there's no way he should be alive today. And he said, had he not changed his lifestyle, let's say maybe 4 or 5 years before, you know, to working from just eating, you know, single guys, but all, you know, a lot of people, you know, eating any and everything, you know, drinking brown liquor, not exercising, not drinking water, not really, you know, paying attention. He said, had he still been in that lifestyle, there's no way he would have survived that massive heart attack. Because he said the doctors told him, you shouldn't be alive today. So that's what I try to encourage people. You know, it's worth it. It's worth it to feel good. You know, it's worth it to have the waist size want to have. You know, it's worth it to not have diabetes. You know, it's just like with me, I have my challenges, but I'm happy with my 26-inch waist, I tell you that. It's not easy.
I work at it.
You know, I work at it.
You
know, every day, you know, and it's through, and I tell some people who, you know, you have to we can figure out, like my balanced living program, it is no cookie, it's not a one program. It's not like a cookie cutter. You know, I deal with people specifically, and I meet my clients where they are. One person may say, you know what, I just feel sluggish and tired, and I just, you know, I want to feel better. Another person may say, I've been 150 pounds overweight for 10 years, 20 years, and I need to make a change. You know, so it's different levels for different people.
So question. When you say your balanced living program is not a cookie cutter program, what exactly is your balanced living program?
Well, my balanced living program is. Oh, go ahead.
coaching? Is it
coaching.
Homework? So it's coaching, and it's virtual coaching, I'm assuming.
It can be virtual or it can be by phone. I haven't had any clients that come to me regularly. But I speak, what my program is first of all, I talk to the person to make sure that I'm the right coach for them, because I don't like fluff and all of that. I like to just get down to it. Tell me who you are, where you are in your situation, and why you want to change it. And then I ask them, think about, are you really, really ready to do this? Because oftentimes people say they're ready to do something, and then when they realize that in order to change, you actually have to make change, and then they can get afraid and scared, which I also let them know that's fine too. My balanced living program is I work with my clients personally on a personal level. I talk to them every week for an hour, you know, working on their progress. I give them information and I support them, because what a lot of people need in life when they're, you know, trying to do different things and new things, oftentimes people just need support, you know, and I give them a lot of information.
So you're giving them nutritional information as well as, do you do exercises? You share exercise techniques with them, and then you motivate them so that they can accomplish those goals. Okay. So I
work with them on the mental
a
little. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the mental, the nutrition, and the physical.
The mental, the nutrition, yes, and the physical. That's like, well, what I do is I have a 90-day program. And then once you work through the 90-day program and you've been exercising consistently and you've been making the dietary changes and you've been drinking half your body's weight in water, which seems to be the biggest difficulty for people, to drink half their body's weight in water. Once you've done that, and after 90 days, the average person should have lost an easy 30 pounds, an easy 30 pounds in 90 days if they're doing the work. My homework for my clients, Mara, it's not a whole lot of homework, because you can send me 55 emails. I prefer you be in the gym. You know what I'm saying? You can email me this or email me that. I prefer you be drinking that 2 gallons of water a day or whatever it is that you need. So, you know, it's not the homework is what we are, and I tell them, you have to agree to this. You know what I'm saying? You really, because you're making a pact. Because I let people know, I can't do it for you. I can walk you through it and guide you through it, but I can't get on the treadmill for you. I can't pour the water down your throat. You know, I help people, because I had one lady, Mara, and she didn't even know. She knew that she liked fruits and vegetables, but she didn't even know what fruits and vegetables she liked. You know, so that's why I say my program is not cookie cutter. I'm not going to tell you to eat this list of fruits and vegetables. What if you don't like any of those? Then it's not going to work. You know, then you're not going to do it. And that's one thing I learned at a very young age. If you're in some kind of program and there are things about it that you don't like, you will not be successful in that program, because there are too many obstacles. And, you know, people are already looking for a reason to quit anyway.
Yeah.
I leave, you know, no excuses. My people, they tell me what fruits and vegetables they like. You know, what kind of activities they like to do.
What's the importance of balanced living then? Why would you say what is it that you feel is the important reason that people should strive to to achieve balanced living?
Well, the reason I strive for balanced living is because when I'm balanced, I feel more peace. When I'm balanced, I feel less stress. You know, when I'm balanced, I have more energy. And I feel, let me think, I don't know, sometimes it can even be, you know, euphoric. When you're balanced and you're just, you know, you're drinking your water, you're eating your fruits and vegetables, I just feel like you can have a bit more peace. You have a lot more energy. If you're getting your sleep, you know, you can have more joy to live your best life. Because if you're sluggish and you're constipated, you know, and a lot of people that are dealing with diabetes, you know, they have their hang-ups and any kind of, you know, depression and things related to any type of physical problem that you're having,
It doesn't allow you to live your best life. But when you reach your optimum health, or even when you're pursuing optimum health, then you feel like, okay, well, I can be healthy. Well, then I can start that business, you know, because you kind of proved to yourself that you can do it. You can do something. Because oftentimes I've had people say, I just don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I've been struggling with this for, you know, for 10 years, for 20 years, and they just really feel stuck. And when you start beginning to get unstuck in one area of your life, then you get unstuck in another area, and then you get unstuck in another area, and then you get unstuck in another area, and you feel better about yourself mentally and spiritually.
Absolutely.
So you kind of feel like, I can do better.
Yeah, it gives you great energy. You're clearing your mind and your thoughts. You're able to be more mobile, get out, do more of the things that you desire to do. A part of why people don't accomplish all that God has called them to do is because they're tired, they're sluggish, they're feeling weighed down, or they're so focused on their physical body not doing, looking the way they had hoped it would look, that they don't embrace where it is now and then start the healthy steps to actually make a lifestyle change, to make healthy choices when they're in restaurants, or to just move a little bit more. So what would you say the basics of balanced living is?
I would say the basics is drinking. Like we said, you know, I said a little bit earlier, drink. First of all, you have to make a decision. You have to make a commitment to love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself first. You can't give from an empty cup. And oftentimes we as women, no disrespect to the fellows, but oftentimes we as women, you know, we're the nurturers. We're the this, we're the that. When I was in my 20s, most of my friends were in their 40s, and they were telling me they're just starting their lives after their children, you know, go to college, you know, after being divorced, because they sold so much of their time and their energy and their life into everyone else but themselves. And then they're 40 and 50, and they find themselves, you know, diabetic, obese, you know, brittle bones, osteoporosis, depression, you know, overweight. When you're 5'2 and you weigh 235 pounds, their words, they're miserable. This is what I've literally had people tell me. You know, so when you can start conquering that and getting over that and knowing that you can do it, because I've always been a cheerleader, because I've had people say, you always inspire people. You always, you know, you stand behind people. You tell people they can do it, they can do it. And a lot of it is because I didn't have that, but I know how important it is. I didn't really have that on this. I was at this audition one time. This is I'm going a little sidebar, but I'll come right on back. And this one girl who's doing all the talking about all these millions of people she studied with, when her turn came to audition, it wasn't cute. When my turn came, but me, I was just sitting in the corner with my headphones on, you know, chilling. When my turn came to sing, I blew the roof off. So this girl said, oh, my God, who did you study with? And you know, who you've been trying to do this your whole life. And I told her, I said, everything you said, I am the absolute opposite. I said, this is a gift that God gave me. I taught myself to sing by studying the greats, R&B mostly, you know, some, you know, various artists. She couldn't believe it, you know. And because of that, I know you can teach yourself things if you decide to. When I started the journey to balance living, Mara, I was 18 years old. You know how it started? I was zipping through my mom's house in my wheelchair, and I heard a Daily Show on in the background in the television. Not the Daily Show, but a little local show. And they said, we're going to do a health segment on how many teaspoons of sugar are in a can of soda. At that time, I was a soda drinker, so I wanted to know. After they got to 4 teaspoons, I said, no more soda for me. I'm done. And I don't know how many teaspoons it ended up being, because after 4 teaspoons in that small can of soda, I said, I'm done. I didn't even need to see the rest of the show. And that really started my journey. And then by my mom being a reader, I was always surrounded by books. And she had a few, you know, books on health. And so after that, I wanted to know what else. So then I went and I wanted to know, like, what are the worst foods you can eat? So once I realized at that time what was listed as the worst foods you could eat, I shut those foods down. I said, oh, no, there'll be no more donuts. There'll be no more ice cream. There'll be no more fast foods. You know, there'll be no more pork and blah, 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 all those things. I shut it down. I used to be really good with cold turkey. I don't know how good I am with it now because I haven't had a cold turkey situation, but I was 18 at that time. I'm 56 today.
So, Rosie.
I have not had five sodas.
You're 56. Wait. You're 56?
Yes, October 24th.
You have a body. You have a body like a 25-year-old. And I'm going to come back to that. We're going to take a little pause for the cause. We're going to take a very short break, a commercial break. But I want to encourage those that are listening, if you have a question or a comment you'd like to make, we invite you to call into the show. The phone number is 347-324-5246. Again, the number is 347-324-5246. Entered in the queue. We'll be right back after these special announcements.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text. And for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and my special guest today is none other than Rosie Reed, and we're discussing balanced living. And just before the break, Rosie revealed a number to me that I promise you I had absolutely no idea was a fact. Rosie revealed that she's 56 years old. And when I tell you this woman looks like she's no older than 30, you look amazing. Your body is so tight, your arms, your waist, all of it. Okay, so now before I get to one of the other questions that I was going to ask you, you need to tell us what you do, what your eating is like, what your workout regimen is like, how you push yourself, because you are pushing yourself with either a walker or with your I've seen you with your what's the walking crutches that you
my
have?
Cane?
My cane.
Well, I don't use my canes anymore. I just use the wheelchair and the walker.
Awesome thought. So the fact that you've accomplished this kind of body, the kind of body that I know you to have, and you aren't able to just get up and jump or do aerobics or do anything. So share with our listeners how you were able to create something that obviously works for you and affords you to be a walking billboard for balanced living, because you must be doing something with your own weight, you know, using your own weight, body weight as resistance. Mm-hmm. How is that going? How do you do it? What can you share with us so that we can also, in addition, we know about the water, drinking, you know, half the weight of your body's water, your half the water of your body's weight. And we also know you should increase your vegetables, your fruit, and things of that nature. But what are you doing to physically create the biceps that you have, the waistline that you have? What are you doing? What is the secret? Tell this, share.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to give God credit. The overall is genetic. I came into the earth with a small waist, but it's my job to maintain it. I was a dancer. I came into the earth with what they would call an athletic body, but it's my job to maintain it, because I've known some former athletic bodies. Do you know what I'm saying? So I give God his props. However, first of all, Mara, I always enjoyed movement, being a dancer. And even after my injury, I went to what they called adaptive PT, which was PT for people with physical disabilities. And in the corner of the gym, they had that rope. You know how they have that rope hanging from the ceiling down?
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at that rope, you know, the first week. And I had a really nice, that you have like an aide in your class. And he said, oh, you can't do that rope. And so I was just looking at, every time I go to class 3 days a week, and I worked hard. Every physical therapist I've had, back when I was in adaptive PE, any person that I've worked with on the physical, they have always told me historically, you work harder than any patient, any client, anyone that I've ever had. So that's one big part of it. But 3 weeks into that class, Mara, I was living in a wheelchair at the time. I climbed that rope from my wheelchair.
Mm.
I had somebody help me. And then once I got to the top, I said, I think his name was Mark. I said, go get Mark. When he came and looked up and saw me holding on to the top of that rope all the way at the top of that gym, he was like you when I said I was 56. He was like, I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say. He said, I've been doing this for a decade. No one has ever done that. And I told him, I said, maybe they didn't try. You know, because for me, it wasn't so much about if I would reach the top. For me, it was about I want to try it. I have to try.
Wow.
And so I tried it, and I never did it again because I didn't need to. But I needed to do it
right
today. So what I do, you know, as far as maintaining is, it's not like a major secret. Right now, I'm about an 80-20 eater. What an 80-20 means to me, because you can be a 100. There were years when I was a 100%er because I spent a lot of years studying, you know, fruits, vegetables, medication, specific diseases, what certain fruits do to your body, what alcohol does to your body, you know, a lot of stuff that I studied. I must have engrossed myself because once I got into it and being a reader, I just found it more and more and more and more interesting. And just to apply to my life, you know, for myself. And, you know, and I always tell people that was nothing but divine revelation that I was zipping through my mom's living room that day. And I thank God for it because I tell people on the real, had I not changed my eating habits at 18, I don't know what my body would look like today, but I don't think it would be cute. It may not be, you know, because, you know, because it takes work, you know. And
yes,
so what
absolutely.
I do is I eat lots of oatmeal. You know, I drink lots of water. I do lots of prayers and affirmations and visualizations. I grew up in Cali and a lot of that time in Northern California. And back then, Fresno was the raisin capital of the world. So I grew up with lots of yummy fruits and vegetables, you know, and I lived on a farm. So
yeah,
we had
but what
all
are you doing? Are you doing resistance training or something? I mean,
no.
Are you doing crunches from your chair? I mean, what are you doing?
I don't do any. It's very unfortunately now because of the amount of pain that I've always lived in, and it has sometimes gotten worse and worse. So I'm not able to work out like I used to. There was a time when I used to go to the gym twice a day for 2 hours. 20 years ago.
Okay,
my body
so when you were doing
that,
what was that like? Mm-hmm. When you were doing that, what was it like?
It was like heaven. I loved it. I love to move and work out and exercise. When I walk into the gym, Mara, it's like walking into a theater for me. I get that same happy, joyous vibration because I feel like I'm home. You know, I feel like I'm home. I love it. I love it, and I don't love not being able to work out the way I used to, but once again, I got to move on from that. And do what I can. And that's what I focus on, you know, what I can do. So what I do mostly now, is a lot of it is, you know, just through diet. And I get on the treadmill, you know, in my building. We have a treadmill downstairs. And I created a workout for myself on the treadmill. You know what I mean? So I do push-ups on the treadmill. I do leg lifts on the treadmill, you know, and then I do my walking, you know, on the treadmill. Because what I have had to do my whole life, well, since my injury is, I had to create ways to work out, you know. I had to create exercises for me, you know, that nobody else would do or would even think of doing. But I had to create exercises for me. Like back in the day when I used to watch regular television, every hour of television I watched, I worked out for a half hour while I was watching television. Because, you know, I didn't want that time to be, not that it was wasted, but I wanted to be productive. You know, there was a time when, like I said, I used to be able to work out twice a day for 2 hours, you know, and then there was a time when I used to go to the gym like 3-4 days a week. But my body, because my arms have been my legs, you know, my shoulders are not
That's
wonderful.
What I'm
you know,
saying. Your resistance training must have been phenomenal, or you must have really utilized your arm strength to get you to where you needed to go, to do some of the things you needed to have accomplished. So, because I've seen your arms, they are completely cut.
Thank you. But, Mara, I haven't been able to the gym in forever because I have a torn ligament in my shoulder. I found that out.
Okay.
Well, I've been having a lot of pain for maybe the last few years, but I went to a shoulder doctor last year, and I went to him again this year, and I went and got some x-rays, and then I got the MRI, and there's a torn ligament in my shoulder. So I don't even know how I'm doing anything, but I'm going to do things. You know me. I have to do something. I do what I can.
The one thing I know about Rosie Reed is she going to do something. So I have a question for you. What is the transformation into balanced living? And I'm going to let that be the last part of this segment. The transformation into balanced living. What do you call that? What is that comprised of?
Well, the transformation is, say you're a person who eats out all the time, and you don't drink water, and you don't get a lot of sleep, and you know you don't take supplements. You're not into a healthy vibration. Well, the transformation into balanced living is changing that way of life, and you know transforming yourself over into someone who does move as much as they can, how they can. Transforming yourself into someone who doesn't drink water. I mean, I met people who say they hate water. I don't understand that, but, you know, so then you begin to drink water. You know, you begin to look at food differently. That's the biggest transformation. You look at yourself and your body and food, what you consume, differently, and you start paying attention, and you realize this greasy fat, God knows who prepared it and what's in it. Do I really want to put that in my body that I claim I love so much? Maybe I don't. Mm. You know, maybe I want to think again. You know, maybe it's worth investing $500 a month for a balanced living coach instead of spending that $500 a month eating out and drinking all those $15 martinis. You know, so you really, the biggest transformation for me, Mara, is the mind. Everything else can come after that, but you have to make a decision. If you don't make
that decision. One of the things that I agree with, I completely agree with that. Every time I've ever started a workout program, eating program, done a study or a Bible study or read through the Bible in a year, I had to first make sure that mentally my head was in the game. Because if my head isn't in the game, my body isn't going to follow, and I'm going to look for and or find excuses. One of the other things that I found that helps me with that transition is to make sure that I have a buddy, a partner, someone who I can count on to do the workout or to study the class or to walk through the Bible with me, because I do know that if I am just doing it myself, sometimes if I don't feel like it, if my feelings get in the way or my emotions get in the way, then it's real simple to just pull that cover right back over my head or to bypass that workout for the day or to just skip over that and go, okay, I'm doing a read through the Bible. I'm going to miss Tuesday. I'm going to catch up on it on Wednesday. But when I'm walking with someone, when I have accountability, when I am in tandem with someone else and I've told someone that I want to lose weight, or I've told someone that I want to walk through the Bible, or I've told someone that I want to go back to school, or I want to better myself, I realize it's in those moments that I then have a partner that's going to push me, even when they're not physically there. It's going to be a reminder to me that I'm going to let somebody down. If I say I'm going to work out with somebody and now they're not I'm not available, I'm letting that person down. So that's another part of my push. That's another part of how I end up staying the course. I've got a great support system of prayer partners even, and we push each other. When they're eating right, you know, we're sharing recipes. When they're on a different kind of eating program, from keto to paleo to whatever it happens to be, when we share that information in community, we're all able to kind of figure out what works best for us. And when one says, I'm going to the mountain and I'm going to do boot camp, then the other's like, I'm going to the gym in the morning. I'm like, I'm not going to get left behind. So then I find out that I'll go out and do what I need to do. But it's that's a part of my wind on my back. That's a part of what pushes me forward, is that camaraderie, is that friendship, is that, it's not competition with my friends because we don't compete about anything, but it is a healthy accountability that helps me not only stay the course, but get on course, because we all fall off course and off track sometimes. And it's very important that when we find ourselves off track, that we allow someone to help gingerly steer us back on track without, you know, offending us, making you feel like, oh, girl, you ain't working out because now you a size, whatever, whatever. But I want my friends to be healthy, and my friends want me to be healthy. And I believe heart health is one of the most important things. And in addition to that, mental health or emotional health is the next important thing, because if you're not feeling good and then you're eating bad, you're piling on some of the negative things. So now you're sluggish and your heart is aching and you can't, and then you gain weight and you're like, I am in a cycle like a hamster on a wheel. So those are some of the more important steps for me. But, Rosie, we're almost out of time. I would like you to take an opportunity. Well, first, let me invite our listeners, in case there's somebody that has a question or a comment. If you've got a question or a comment for Rosie Reed or myself, please give us a call at 347-324-5246. Press the number 1 to be entered into queue. So I want to ask this. I know that you are endeavoring to share your balanced living with others. So can you share with our listeners how they may be able to reach you or contact you for coaching so that our listeners can actually get in touch with you?
Great. Well, the best way to contact me is on Instagram, MSROSILOVES. That's my Instagram. You can also contact me at MSLAD, as in dog, Y, B as in boy, LU, the number 42@yahoo.com. So I'm very
awesome.
Easy to find.
And on social media.
Yeah, and I'm
and
also
on social
Facebook,
media, you're
Rosie Reed on Facebook.
R-O-S-I-R-E-E-D. And you're Miss Rosie Reed on Instagram, right?
Yes, Miss Rosie Love. On Instagram,
Miss
if you
Rosie
pull up
Love.
R-O-S-I, yeah, that's my Instagram, my IG handle. But if you look up R-O-S-I-R-E-E-D, you'll find me on Instagram also. I just have to remind people not to add the E because then you don't find me.
Gotcha, gotcha. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, I am so grateful that you were my special guest today. You have lots of nuggets and information to share. And as Rosie would say, make sure you're drinking your water. Make sure you're doing something that's healthy for your heart. Make sure that you're actually planning to live a life that is healthy as you possibly can, because as you know, we only get older. The calendar doesn't go backwards. So you know that there are several things that are inevitable. And taxes
yes.
are inevitable. So I believe, and she also has shared on this show, that if you take care of your body and you take care of your temple, you will go into those golden, older age with much more confidence, much more energy, better able to, when you retire, if you're working a 9-to-5, when you retire, you'll be more mobile. How about less medications? How about clearer in thought? Able to do some of the things you've been planning and wanting and desiring to do when you retire, because you keep saying, when I retire, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, it's harder to do that if you can't move, if you're having stroke or heart attack or health issues, or you're out of breath when you walk 2 feet, but you want to go to the beach and walk up and down the coast, or if you're a diabetic, whatever the health ailment may be. Now, if you currently have those, there's always a way to get healthier. There's
yes.
always a way to use less medication. There's always
yes.
a way that you can journey forward, be the healthiest you can be, and you may still be on medicine, or you may still be in a wheelchair, or you may still be in a walker, or even an oxygen machine. But how about depending on those things less? Even if a portion of it, 1/4 of it, is less than you were 5 years ago, that's called progress. And I like
yes.
to make progress in my purpose every single day. You have been listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. My special guest tonight was none other than Rosie Reed. We were discussing balanced living, and we want you to have a balanced life. Live it fully, live it completely, and live it out
may
loud.
I share one
thank
last,
you so much
may I share
for tuning
one last
in.
Thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, we were talking about testimony earlier today, and I just want to, I don't know, this is just on my spirit. I just want to leave everybody with this thought, feeling, vibration. And it's a song that God put on my heart, and I just want to do a line or two of it. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. I've had sleepless nights. But when I look around and think things are over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. That's it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're encouraging you not to complain, no matter how difficult things get, no matter how bleak things seem, no matter how high the mountain may seem that's before you. We're telling you, don't complain. Always give God the glory. Be grateful in whatever situation you find yourself in. That's the word. The word says, Paul talks about, whatever situation I find myself in, I am content in that. So no matter how tight it feels like you're squeezed, or no matter how dark the night may seem, I encourage you, we encourage you, not only do you not complain, but be grateful. Give gratitude for every situation you're in, and it'll change your attitude, which will then impact your altitude. You be blessed, be encouraged. We love you, and thanks so much for tuning in to OMG.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.